Is somebody excited in the house this evening? Thank you. Can we just take our seats? Amen. Once again, we are gathered in the presence of the King. Look at that person by your side and tell that person your life will never remain the same again. You just look at somebody and tell the person, welcome back. We've been away for a long time, very long holiday. Hallelujah. And I'm happy that somebody understands that every Friday till Jesus comes, we will be here. Especially after this Holy Ghost baptism program, we were mightily blessed. Is there anybody in the house that was extraordinarily blessed during this program? I don't know about you, me, I was blessed. What of you? I was seriously blessed. I was blessed. And the truth is that the revival continues. And my prayer for someone is that what you received, you will not quench it. The Bible said, quench not the spirit. My prayer for someone also is that you will walk in accordance to one of the message that pastor preached. I love that message. Can go back and listen to it. That Jesus is hungry for fruits. How many of us remember that message? Jesus is hungry for fruits. If you were not in church when pastor preached, just go to our archives and listen to that message again. I guess he preached it this Sunday before the Holy Ghost baptism program. Jesus is hungry for fruits. My prayer for someone is that the fruits of the Spirit after this Holy Ghost baptism program will be evident in your life in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It will be evident in somebody's life. I pray that you will swim in the Spirit. I pray that you will enjoy fellowship with the Lord. Ceaseless fellowship with the Lord. And after a program like this, you know what we just came here today to do? We came here to praise God. Today will be a praise night and a prophetic night. Can somebody clap your hands and say amen to that? It will be a praise night. Nothing more. We came here tonight to thank God, to praise Him. You know, because the best thing that will happen to an individual is to be given the spirit of adoption. The Bible said, whereby we shout, Abba, Father. The Bible said, we've not been given the spirit of fear, but of boldness. We've been given a spirit that will enable us to approach God's throne of grace confidently. A spirit of sonship. A spirit that causes you or gives you the confidence to know that you are a child of God. His own. That's the program that we just finished. That's the best thing that will happen to an individual. That's the best thing that will happen to a Christian. And if that is the best thing that would happen to you and you know that definitely God gave it to us free of charge. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, what made me to shout thank you, Jesus, is while I was making this statement, I just had this imagination in me. It's so funny that the greatest gift that can be dished out, that can be given to mankind, is given to man free of charge. Do you understand? The greatest gift that any human being that is born of a woman can receive on earth is given out free of charge, and yet it has no price tag attached to it. It's priceless. Its value is beyond anything that money can buy. You cannot quantify it. The spirit that causes you to be a child of God, the spirit that will enable you to live forever. Then you begin to understand why Jesus was making it. When Jesus said, if they had known, the scripture said, if they had known, Apostle Paul rather, that if they had known, they wouldn't have crucified the King of Glory. If they had understood that Jesus is the power and the wisdom of God, the wisdom with which God will use to save the earth, the wisdom with which God will use to get more children to himself, like he did to us during this Holy Ghost baptism program. He said they wouldn't have crucified the King of Glory. Now, when I thought of that, this is what came to my mind. If the men of this world understands the depth of what it means to receive the Holy Ghost, or let's just imagine one could buy it with money. That you can buy eternal life with money. Hope you know, say, you know, go reach most of us. You know, go reach most of us. People will go buy and plenty. Then go even buy stock and keep for their generations unborn. The 20th generation. Some self go get Holy Ghost warehouse where they will sell it only to billionaires like themselves. Holy Ghost warehouse. Do you know what it means to get the spirit that will cause you to live forever? Scientists keep looking for things that will make you ageless. If they could, that young rich ruler was searching for something that was beyond wealth. And that's why when he came to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ told him to sell everything and follow him. Because what he needed was what money could not buy, even though he had money. So tonight, we want to appreciate God for what God did for us. We are just going to thank him and glorify his name and exalt him and lift him high. So you understand. I want somebody to understand the power of thanksgiving. We know it, but let's just brush through it a little bit. The power of thanksgiving. There is too much power in thanks. In appreciation, when you praise him, there's power in it. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer. Somebody tell your neighbor, continue in prayer. Tell another person, continue in prayer. And watch in the same. With what? With thanksgiving. Thanksgiving should be added to it. There is a reason. Thanks is powerful. Thanksgiving is powerful. The Bible says, watch and pray. But here in Colossians chapter 4, he says, while you are praying and watching, you should go with thanksgiving. You should go with thanksgiving. So let's see 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. He says, in everything, give what? Thanks. In everything. Somebody say, in everything. In everything, give thanks. Are you searching for the will of God? Are you looking for the will of God? You know, the truth is, one of the things that the Spirit of God does, this is just a very short exhortation. I want to give us a background so that we'll really praise God tonight. A very short exhortation. I'm not teaching. One of the things the Spirit of God does in the life of an individual when it takes hold of your being is that it causes you to search for the will of God or to desire the will of God. Do you understand? You know, it creates something in you that would want to submit yourself to the will of God. Remember, that is why we need the Spirit of God in this present age, especially when mortality has not put on immortality. The flesh is limited to obeying the things of the Spirit. That is why there is always a conflict. The Spirit of God helps us to put the flesh under, to be subject. It enables the Spirit to supersede the desires of the flesh. Superseding the desires of the flesh is desiring the will of God. Why did I decide to explain this? Because of what 1 Thessalonians chapter 8, chapter 5, verse 18 is saying. Now, if you desire the will of God, Apostle Paul, by revelation, is telling you the will of God. Oh yeah, look at it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He said, in everything, he said, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you? That you should give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks now. That is why I'm really trying hard not to just to brush this thing through. That statement alone is deeper than what it looks like. If he's telling you that the will of God in Christ Jesus is that you should give thanks, it means that your destiny to be conformed to the image of Christ centers around you giving thanks. It means that your life should be a life. Now, if the Bible is saying that in everything that you should give thanks, remember, when you are giving God thanks, you are telling him that I appreciate what you have done for me. And you are also telling that I know whom you are. If the Bible says in everything you should give thanks, remember, giving thanks is not just waking up and saying, oh, okay, has this thing done too much like this? The suffering done too much? Or this battle, Or anyway, thank God, say, I see today. And I was able to wake up. And Shebi then told me, oh, they thank God. Waiting person go do. Make I thank God now. Make I just thank God. You know, that's not it. Do you understand? If he's saying in everything that you should give thanks, it means that he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Now, when you are giving God thanks in everything, you are trying to tell him that I have put my trust and my confidence in you. Now, it will take you to understand whom he is. It will take you to catch what he can do. It will cause you to understand his attributes. You have to believe in his ability. When pastor is asking us several, you see, pastor, when he wants us to thank God, he will tell you, who do you know him to be? He said, oh yeah, thank God that you can only thank him by whom you know him to be. He said, oh yeah, tell him that you know whom he is. And if the Bible said you should give God thanks in all things, it means you are trying to tell him that even if it is you are going through a very terrible situation, then you are trying to tell him that, God, I know you are a very present help in trouble. When you are giving him thanks, remember, God is not moved by your tears. He's only moved by your faith. And it is your faith that will cause you to give him thanks. When you know whom he is, by the spirit that he has given us. So we are here to thank him. I want somebody to catch this. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In all things, he said you should give him thanks. When there is a battle around you and you are giving him thanks, you know what you are trying to tell him? Despite the battle and the spirit of God takes over you, that spirit he has given you, and you are appreciating him in the midst of battles, you know what you are telling him? You are simply telling him that I know you are a mighty man in battle. Not that you say, oh Jesus, I thank you, Father, fight my battle, I thank you. You are thanking him by a revelation, because you know whom he is. And remember, when you begin to thank him, in the while you are busy thanking him, the battle might intensify. The battle might intensify. But if you understand that statement, in all things that you should give him thanks, as the battle is increasing, you are thanking him the more. You are simply telling him that I know you are a mighty man in battle. When a situation takes over your being and you thank him, you know what you are simply telling him? You are trying to tell him that I know you are a mighty healer. When you find a tragedy around you, and in the midst of that tragic situation, you give him thanks, you are simply telling that I know you are a comforter. I know that you are a comforter. And the only person that knows how to comfort you in all situations is the King of Kings. It is that God you serve. He's the perfect comforter. He knows how to comfort. Hallelujah. In all things, the Bible says we should give him thanks. 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 That songwriter that was writing, thanks, thanks, I give you thanks for all you have done in my life. I am so blessed, my soul has found rest. Praise God. Do you think maybe if you listen to the words of that song, you will discover that it was not as if everything around that songwriter was beautiful, but he understood something. Thanks, thanks, I give you thanks for all you have done. My life, I am so glad my soul has found rest. Oh Lord, I give you thanks. Give him thanks. Give him thanks in all things. Now he says, for that is the will of God for us in Christ Jesus. It is the desire of God that we praise him. So tonight, child of God, we will praise him. We will thank him. You will tell him, you will make him understand that I have a grateful heart. A heart that is filled with appreciation. Hallelujah. Let's see Isaiah chapter 51, verse 1 to 3. He said, hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness. Is there anybody that follow after righteousness here? Is there anybody that follow after righteousness here? To me, ye that follow after righteousness. ye that seek the Lord, say, look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. It's trying to make you to understand, you know, remember your former estate, where you were taken from, and how far God has taken you to. It's just trying to make you to, you that follow after, it, you are following after righteousness from where you were brought forth from. That's what he's just trying to let you know. Verse 2, say, look unto Abraham, your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. Now, you know what he's trying to say here? Don't we believe that Abraham's blessings are our own? Is there somebody here you believe Abraham's blessings are yours? Abraham's blessings are mine. And if he's speaking of Abraham, he's only trying to remind you of a man that believed him for whom he is and was filled with thanks, gratitude, and appreciation. The evidence is that he decided to abide by the will of God. He was walking in accordance to God's will. Whatever he wants him to do, he will do it. And here we saw that the will of God for us in Christ Jesus is to give him thanks in all things. Verse 3, for the Lord, now this is my emphasis. Now when you thank him, for the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. Somebody, the Lord shall comfort Ogugwa Obinazoe. I don't know about you. For he will comfort all her waste places. Because you positioned yourself for the Spirit of God to take over your life. If there be any place in your life that has been wasted, there shall be comfort in the name of Jesus. And the comfort of the Lord brings restoration. Let's see it again. And he will make her wilderness like Eden. Somebody, can you say amen to that? I don't know about you, but that is my testimony. Let's see it again. And her days are like the garden of the Lord. Now, look at it. Now, when all of this happens, what will happen? Joy and gladness shall be found therein. Thanksgiving. And the voice of melody. Thanksgiving. And the voice of melody. And I repeat again. I say this shall be the portion of somebody that is listening to me in the name of Jesus. I don't know about you. I say this will be your testimony. Because you have chosen the Most High to be your God. You are in his presence. You are seeking him. You desire to know him better than you have ever known him. Despite the struggle of the flesh, but you are still pressing forward. I say joy will be upon you. If there be any waste place around your life, the Lord will make it to be fruitful. He will turn your desert and cause it to be as wonderful and beautiful as Eden and a garden of the Lord. Hallelujah. And somebody, according to that scripture, gladness will never depart from your life. Joy will not depart from your life. Thanksgiving will fill your lips. Hallelujah. And let's see another scripture. Oh, hallelujah. Let's see Psalm 100. I'm laying this foundation so that somebody will praise God. So that you will thank God tonight. You will get yourself free tonight and you will appreciate him. Psalm 100 from verse 1. Make a joyful noise. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh. Is there a living soul in the house tonight? Is there a living soul in the house tonight? He said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Oh, yes. Verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing, with singing, with singing. A songwriter wrote, say, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning, morning, your mercies I see. He's too faithful. When he said, in all things give thanks unto the Lord, all things, he was trying to talk like the Hebrew children, that our thanks, living a life of thanksgiving, should not be conditional. It should come from a revelation that the three Hebrew children caught, that they told, they looked at Nebuchadnezzar eyeball to eyeball. They were seeing a sword that was placed on their throat, ready to slice them. They looked at death. Nebuchadnezzar to them, as at that time, was a symbol of death, because they knew Pastor preached a message, bow and burn. They were looking at a man, a mortal, that said, I have the power to kill you. If you don't bow, you will burn. But they understood that the Bible says that fear not he that has power over only the flesh, but only fear he that has power both over the flesh and the spirit, the soul, and even to destroy it in hell. They looked at King Nebuchadnezzar in the eyes and they said, hear this, O king, what do you want to start to do? I'm sharp, sharp, because we will not bow. We will not bow. We will not bow. We will rather die glorifying the name of this our God. Hope you know that was living a life of thanksgiving in all things. It is not meant to be conditional. It is not meant to be conditional. The truth is that, oh Jesus, oh Jesus, when you wake up in the morning, you know, Pastor was making a statement. Anything you see around you is an opportunity to appreciate God and to give him thanks. Not because you are mocking that situation, but because you are just thanking him.
why did he love me so much? So much.
While you are busy crying or thinking that things are rough for you, there is somebody that will always tell me, I don't know why things are like this. I tell the person, don't pray for things to be like this for you. When you see people that have problem, you will not have any mouth to talk. You will not be able to talk if you see people that have problem. And if you think you cannot praise God, visit the cemetery. Visit the graveyard. You will thank God. If you cannot praise God, look at those that were unable to catch a revelation of whom this God is. That is one of the major reasons why we will praise him today. That he positioned you to know him. The greatest gift that can be given to mankind. You think it's because we are too righteous. Waiting which righteous we righteous. People like us. You get people where they born inside church. But God went and picked men that were rugged and caused them not just to know him, but to catch a revelation of whom he is in the end time, and position them and made them to be among the end time army. You are among the end time armies. You should appreciate God for that. Appreciate him for that. You have captured my heart, consumed my heart with your love. A songwriter wrote that. Oh, you have captured my heart, consume my heart with your love. Yeah. You have captured my heart, consume my heart with your love. Our voice is in praise. That is why we are here tonight. That is why we are here tonight. Just to praise him. And when you praise him, when you give him thanks, somebody listen to me. Oh Jesus. When you look at those that their prayer pattern is only battle, only war, only killing their enemies, watch their lives. That battle they fight, they hardly get complete victory. Just search those that all their prayer pattern is bah, 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 bah. Battle all through, because it is not in accordance to the word of God. You are trying to fight the battle. You will get to a stage whereby your ability will stop. You don't have the powers. There are places you cannot enter. That is why there is a prayer point I adopted. At a time when around me, I knew that this is nothing but a serious snare of the power of darkness that has been unleashed upon my life. And God
gave me this prayer point. That is when I began to tell God, please, God, enter where I cannot enter on my behalf. Let your voice become my voice where my voice cannot get to. Father, let your eyes see what I cannot see on my behalf. When all you do is you fight and fight, there are places you cannot enter. There are things, there are places your voice cannot get to. But your thanks and your praises will get there. How? Because it will ignite the God that has the ability to enter everywhere, to go there on your behalf. Your praises. So watch the life of somebody that follows the principle of thanksgiving, the principle of praises, the principle of worship. Watch that person's life. You begin to see the finger of God. When you praise Him, when you open up your heart, when you appreciate Him for that which He has done, you bring down His presence around you. Have you not noticed that when you truly worship Him and His presence comes down, you pray at ease? Have you not noticed that when you worship Him, every gift in your life is ignited? Because the 9 spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you are not the one that has the ability to ignite them. It is as His Spirit giveth utterance, as His Spirit leads and guides you. So the best way for that gift to function is when you call down the presence of He that has the ability to ignite that gift. And when His presence comes around you, things, Igbo language, things will begin to happen. Do you understand? Even tonight, somebody listen. Hope you know that the Holy Ghost baptism program only busted a doorway to unceasing supernatural experience. Somebody, even tonight, if you can open up your heart and praise and worship Him, the Holy Ghost will still come again and empower you. So when we are praising Him, open up your heart, something will happen. That gift in your life, while you will be praising Him, it will be ignited again. You can open up your spirit and allow the Holy Ghost. Somebody, maybe all through the Holy Ghost baptism program, there is an experience you were waiting for, and you are saying, God, why now? No. Every prayer you offered, hear me, child of God, this is, listen to the word of God to you, to you. You are the one He's talking to. Listen. This, what I'm about to say is for someone. No. Don't think that your prayer was not answered. It was answered. There is no prayer offered before God that goes unanswered. Today might be the day He will come to let you know that, my child, I answered you. Today might be the day you will have an experience. So open up your spirit and give Him thanks. Don't grumble within you. Don't grumble. Don't grumble within you. Don't grumble within you. There will be an empowerment if you will praise Him from the depth of your heart. If you glorify Him, today is praise night. And as we praise Him, pronouncement will be made. The prophets will speak upon you. When that atmosphere is ignited and anything is said concerning your life, will come to pass. It will come to pass, O child of God, it will come to pass. It will come to pass. It will come to pass. Just get yourself positioned for His glory to take over you. And His name will be glorified. Oh, yes. That is the will of God for us in Christ Jesus. I just want to be where You are.
dwelling daily in your presence. That's what the songwriter wrote. I don't want to worship from afar. Draw me near to where you are.
I want to be where you are. Oh,
dwelling in your presence. Feasting at your table.
Surrounded
by your glory. When verse 2 says, serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing. Verse 3, know ye that the Lord, he is what? Can I hear you? He is what? Can I hear you? He is what? He is God. It is he that had made us and not we ourselves. Did you hear that? We are his people. Are you his people? Somebody, are you his own? And the sheep of his pasture. Verse 4. Enter his gates with what? You know, when I was reading this scripture, something just dawned on me that if the Bible says enter his gates with thanksgiving, it means thanksgiving is the password with which you should use to come to his gate, and his gate will be open. Remember, you don't come before him empty-handed. The heart filled with thanks. And into his courts with praise. Say, be thankful unto him and bless his name. Be thankful. Verse 5. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endureth to all generations. His truth endureth to all generations. His truth endureth to all generations. Oh, let the name of the Lord be praised. Let's see another scripture. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Philippians chapter 4. I want you to keep noting this. The emphasis the scripture lays on thanksgiving, lays on praises, appreciation. When he said thanksgiving, it's appreciation. Coming before him with a heart filled with thanks. Say, be careful for what? For nothing. Be careful for nothing. As Christians, when you lay the whole of your burden on him, you don't get worried about what tomorrow will bring forth. You pray and believe. Tomorrow will always take care of itself. But the truth is that you don't have power over tomorrow. You don't have power over yesterday. But you are living in the present. In the present. Do you understand? You cannot change what happened yesterday. It has happened. It has happened. So there is, that's why they will say, don't cry over spilled milk. You don't cry over spilled milk. There is nothing you can do about it. There's nothing you can do about what transpired in your life yesterday. If you keep dwelling in the past, you will remain caged in the dungeon of slavery. You will not move forward. And when you get yourself worked up concerning tomorrow, you will just end up having anxiety. Why not leave yesterday in the hands of he that can make all things beautiful again? And then why not commit tomorrow in the hands of he that knows the end from the beginning? Do you understand? Now, if you catch this, then you will truly give him thanks with a heart filled with gratitude. When the Bible says be anxious for nothing, the Bible is simply telling you entrust your future into the hands of the all-knowing God. When you entrust it into his hands, you will go and sleep. When you wake up, you will thank him. Let's read that scripture again. Let's continue. Be careful for nothing. Tell your neighbor, be careful for nothing. The evidence that you will be careful for nothing is that you will praise God tonight. Say, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with what? I want you to catch this. Let me read it again. Catch it, catch it. He said, be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. Now, he said, but in everything, he's telling you again. He said, but in everything, by prayer. Prayer is you communicating with your God. Remember, prayer is not binding and casting. Prayer is not when you wake up and you begin to say, and you begin to destroy and scatter and bind. Eh? That is you exercising your faith, your authority. And there's nothing wrong with that. But look at it. Let's continue. But prayer is when you bring a petition to someone that is higher than you. Prayer is a communication now as Christians between you and God. When you are presenting a matter that is beyond you, you are bringing it to a being that has the ability to do all things, which is your God. When a lawyer appears in the court of law, the lawyer will tell the judge, I pray this honorable court to grant my requests. It's an appeal to a higher authority to do something for you. The lawyer is standing for someone, and the lawyer wants the judge to rule to the favor of whom he is standing for as an advocate. So he's saying, I am praying this honorable court to help me, because that lawyer does not have the ability to pass judgment in that court. He that has the power to decide the fate of that case is the judge. So the lawyer will pray that the judge will grant his requests. And our God is the judge of all judges. And I declare tonight, someone, if you can answer, amen. And your case is before any spiritual court. And you will praise God tonight with the whole of your heart. I say tonight, your God, who is the judge of all judges, will rule to your favor by his mercy. In the name of Jesus. He's our advocate. And he's also our judge. So that is it. That is what prayer is. When you appear before a higher authority. Now, so let's look at that scripture now. Be careful for nothing. He said, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. Catch this. And supplication. What did he say again? What did he say? With. That's with. Means that it must go hand in hand with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving should not be missing. It means that thanksgiving, listen, he said, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. It means thanksgiving is a catalyst. It is a catalyst that enhances answers to your requests. It promotes it. Let's see it.
with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto him. So you now understand why Psalm 100 verse 4 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a key. It's a key that opens the door of unceasing blessing. Can I repeat? See, it is scriptural. Prayer can open a door, but thanksgiving sustains that door and keeps it open. This is the evidence. There were 10 lepers. 10 lepers. 10 that were cleansed. The Lord told them, go and show yourself to the high priest. They moved. They believed him, right? The evidence that they left, because when he told them, go and show yourself to the high priest, hope you know they were not healed instantly. But the word from the mouth of the Lord, already healing has taken place. But they were not seeing it. Just like you are not seeing what you have asked God for, but you believe by his word that he has given not to you, believe. So the evidence that they were all believers is that they believed him. When he said, go and show yourself to the high priest, they all left. It means they believed him. So they were believers, Abi. So we are all believers, Abi. But look at the difference. So you now understand why some believers, okay, that's the scripture. Luke 17. And when he saw them, that's those lepers, he said unto them, go show yourself unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. So it means, he said, go and show yourself to the high priest. They believed him. They didn't see anything, but because they know that this man is not ordinary, there is power in the things he does. They believed him. We all believe him. They left. And while they were going, what happened? They were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, what did he do? When he saw that he was healed, he turned back and with a loud voice. Somebody say, with a loud voice. Can I hear somebody say, thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, with a loud voice? With a loud voice, he glorified God. Look at what happened after he glorified God. Verse 16. And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. He was consumed. He truly appreciated God with his heart from the depth of his being. Tonight, when they say praise him, praise him. If you want to dance, dance. If you want to appreciate him, enter and locate him in the spirit and appreciate him, just like that leper did. Look at what happened. And on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. What happened? And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger. He said unto him, which is my emphasis, arise, go thy way, thy faith had made thee whole. Do you understand now? Those people were healed, but this guy was made complete, whole. So your prayer and your supplication, yes, can open doors and do great things for you. But your thanksgiving will sustain the door of unceasing blessing. The reason is because those 9 lepers, they believed Christ and they left. They didn't come back into his presence. The only thing that sustains blessing is he that gives the blessing. That man returned back to the source of his healing. And when you dwell with him in thanks and appreciation, you will remain in the corridor of unceasing blessing, because he is blessing himself. He was there.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Ancient of Days. So let's see, Philippians 4. That's where we're reading. Philippians 4, verse 7.
And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Now, when you come to him in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, what will happen? This is what will happen, child of God. This is also what thanksgiving does. This is what will happen when you praise God tonight. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Oh, thank you, Father. He will keep it. He will keep it. Because any moment from now, look at somebody by your side and tell that person, are you ready to praise God tonight? Look at another person and tell that person, if only you can praise God tonight, doors of uncommon blessing shall be open unto you. Hallelujah. 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 Do you want God to fight battles for you? Praise him. Because when thank you, Jesus. See, when you praise God, he releases a total package. In the realm of praises, you will encounter the total package that will be released from God. When you praise him, you receive his blessings in totality. When you appreciate him, when your heart is filled with things and your hands are also full, you will receive from him. Oh, hallelujah. That when you praise God tonight, somebody, while you are busy praising him, he will be there fighting a battle that you cannot fight. Is there any battle in your life? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. If what I am saying is the truth, God will confirm it even today. Now. Listen to me. You know I'm saying this confidently. 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 If you are here now and use a situation around you to confirm the reality of what I am saying. Maybe there is a situation, there is a battle in your life that is about to swallow you up. And you are confused. You have prayed. You have fasted. You have done all kinds of things. And you are wondering what is happening. Tonight, praise him from the depth of your heart. If you can do it tonight, when you leave this place, you will see that battle consumed by the glory of God. I say it because it is scriptural. It is thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the word of God. Look at the account in 1 Chronicles. No, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Let's look at an account in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Let's see it from verse 14. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye. This is what the prophet said when the Spirit of the Lord came unto him. He said, hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord, The Lord God unto you. He said, be not afraid, nor be dismayed by reason of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. And this is talking to someone listening to me now. He said, tomorrow go ye down against them. Somebody, behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook. That is when some nations rose up against Jehoshaphat before the wilderness of Jeruel. Verse 17, he said, ye shall not need to fight. Somebody tell your neighbor, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Oh, yes. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. In the city of the Lord, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole world. Is Mount Zion, side of a northern. All of the great being is Mount Zion, side of a northern city. All the great being. Let's see that scripture again. Ye shall not see, ye shall not fight in this battle. Set yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not. There is somebody by your side, fear not. They fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. How will the Lord be with you? Praise him, and his presence will be ignited around you. Now, let us see. Let us see, that's verse 18. Now, that was thus saith the Lord, right? From the prophet of God to Jehoshaphat. That was all he said. Oh, that was all the prophet said. The prophet don't talk past like that. The prophet did not give any explanation. The prophet did not give any interpretation. The prophet only told King Jehoshaphat. He said, prepare yourself. Go to the battlefield. You will not fight in this battle. He said, the Lord will fight for you. He said, because the Lord will be with you. In essence, his presence shall be around you. Now, let's see if Jehoshaphat understood that message. And Jehoshaphat bowed. A man that understood what it means for the presence of God will be with an individual. He bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. They worship the Lord. Jehoshaphat bowed before the Lord, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem did what? They worshiped the Lord. And the Levites, of the children of the Kohathites, and of the children of the Kohites, stood up to do what? To do what? To praise the Lord. Hey! To praise the Lord God of Israel with what? With what? Can I hear you with what? With what? Oh! Hey! With a loud voice. With a loud voice. With a loud voice. Hallelujah. Ah. They were not just shouting for shouting's sake. They were intoxicated by a knowledge that the presence of he that is a mighty man in battle is with them. That shout was not a shout because they wanted to shout. It was a shout that was born out of an intoxication. Ah! did not the Bible say in Revelation, when the third seal was opened, one of the elders said, see that thou hot not the oil nor the wine. You know what wine they do to person, Abi? It is synonymous to the intoxication that takes over the life of an individual when the Spirit of God takes over the presence of the supreme deity of all deities. Let's see that scripture. Oh! Thank you, Father. Oh, yes. They stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. Verse 20. And they rose up early in the morning and went forth into... Oh, I'm distracted in the spirit. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood. Now listening to what the man that understood that message said. He stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Pride Assembly. Believe in the Lord your God, so you shall be established. Believe his prophets. Remember, a prophet just spoke now. The Spirit of the Lord came upon a prophet and he spoke. Now, what is the evidence that they understood and believed that prophet? He said, believe in his prophets. Believe his prophets. So shall ye prosper. Now, verse 21 again. And when he had consulted. Now, this is the evidence that Jehoshaphat believed the prophet. The prophet said, you will not fight in this battle. He said, because the presence of the Lord God Almighty will be with you. Now, he said, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers. You will not fight in this battle. And he appointed singers. It means he knew that when they will begin to praise the Lord, they are telling him, oh God, we know how mighty you are. When you step into the realm of praises, you will disorganize your enemies. Because when your enemy will come against you with all of their weapons and their battle tactics and everything they have, when they come with their concussions, when they come with their definitions, when they come with their wicked words, when they come with the statements of their mouth and the wickedness of their hearts, you will come against them in the name of the Lord God Almighty of Israel. You will stand and look at them just like David looked at Goliath. I say, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that we stand, that we come to defy the army of the living God? That is what you will do. When you appear before God with the weapon of praises, you will confuse they that come against you with weapons and javelins. You will confuse them. You know why? Because you are coming in a manner that they never expected. They thought that when they come, you will give them fire for fire. But instead of giving them fire for fire, you are turning to he that created fire. They came with fire and you turn to he that created fire. Papa, I praise you. Now you create fire. That's what you are doing. In the eyes of the enemy, you will look foolish. That is why. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Do you know what David was doing when David appeared before Goliath just with stones and a sling? You know what David was doing? David was glorifying God. David, that was an act of praises. What did David say when David appeared before Saul? David told Saul, he said, the God
Lord God of Israel whom I serve. He said he has delivered me out of the hands of lions and bears. He said he will make this same Goliath same as those lions. What was he doing? What was he doing? He was magnifying the name of his God. He refused to see his size. He decided to see the size of his God. That is praises. He was praising God now. Oh, King Saul, my God is mighty. King Saul, my God is mighty. King Saul, oh, my God is mighty. That is what David was doing.
So gi onye tielu onye tielu onye tielu so gi onye questi rio
ya
diribia so gi onye tielu onye tielu onye tielu so gi onye questi rio.
Look at that man. David knew when you come before the Lord in praises, when powers appear before you and you turn to the Lord God Almighty, you are telling him, oh God, I know you have the power to quench this storm.
Lord, you are so good. You are good to me. Lord, you are very good. You are good to me. Lord,
that men have mocked you on, that thing that has made people laugh at you, when they mock at you, they are mocking your God. Rather than looking at that thing and you are crying, oh, this thing now, why now? That situation that seems as if cannot be solved. When you turn unto God, instead of looking at that situation, you begin to look at a God whom the Bible was making a statement in Romans chapter 4. He said, he is a God that calleth those things that be not as though they were. As though they were. When you turn to that God, you are trying to tell that situation, I have a God that said, let there be light. And there was light. The Bible said, by faith, the things that are seen were created out of things that were not seen. That is what you are busy telling that situation. That is what you are telling that situation. Jesus refuse to see that tears that has been running down your eyes. As it is running down your eyes, instead of seeing that thing that is causing you pain, you will turn your back and you will face that King of glory, he that died for you on the cross of Calvary. That same God that Anna came and Anna cried before that God.
We don't know what call us sumo bo. We don't know what call us sumo bo. We don't know what call us sumo bo.
You are before the tunnel. You are moving on your road of destiny. He has filled you with his spirit. And you are saying, yes, Lord, I know I am a heavenly candidate. I am a heavenly being. But Papa, what is happening? What is happening to my life? You will suddenly realize that when the children of Israel were on their way, he that knows the way through the wilderness, he knew where he could have taken them to, but they were following his lead instead of leading them through a very wonderful pathway. He took them towards the Red Sea so that they will know that he is a God that maketh a way where there is no way. Hey,
God to make a way where there seems to be no way. He walks in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for you. He will be our guide, holding closely to his side.
Children of Israel, they were in great distress. If you don't mind, you can be on your feet.